If you turn in your Bibles to Second Corinthians, chapter 4, and we're going to talk about identification and how that affects your self-esteem. We'll talk about identification and self-esteem. And our title of our message is Knowing Who You Are. And last Sunday, I tried to preach this message because I was hindered and hampered. But how many people know that the devil can't keep you down? He can't stop you, but he can hinder you a little bit. He can slow you down. He can never stop you. So, thank God. If you go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Maybe we should all say this together. If everybody uses their voice, it will sound like a heavenly choir. Can everybody do that and help me out this morning? Help the people that are listening on television? All right, let's go ahead. Do this again. 1, 2, 3. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ... Wait, hang on. You're not loud enough. We need to hear you up here. So everybody use your outside voices. 1, 2, 3. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. The new life has begun. So there we go. We've begun a new life. If you're in Christ. Somebody said, if you've been in Christed. So we've all been in Christed. How do you become in Christ? By receiving Jesus. You become one with him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that the Holy Spirit takes your spirit, your inner man, and baptizes you into Christ. And the Catholics, this is where the Catholics got it wrong, because the water baptism does not make you a born-again Christian. Is confessing and realizing that Jesus is the rock on which Peter was supposed to build the church. The rock or the revelation that Jesus is the Savior. So as a young boy, when I was a Catholic, I thought, you know, I'm born again because I went to the priest and I was baptized with water and they trickled water on me and now I'm accepted as God's children. No, you have to make that decision yourself. Your parents can't make that decision. You come to a place where you have to make decision yourself. So the Bible says, if any man, King James, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. So what happens, the Holy Spirit takes your spirit and baptizes you into the body of Christ all over the world where people are called Christians. You're one body. Whether you're over in Costa Rica or Alaska, if you're in the same body, because spiritually God is everywhere, you're in Christ. That's how it works. Amen? And so we thank God for that revelation that God has given us. You know, it wasn't until I got saved in the 80s where I heard Billy Graham talk about, coming to Jesus. And I was hungry. I was hungry for God. I went to church every Sunday. I never missed Mass. I was on my knees every morning. I was a good boy because I learned that in my church. And I was on my knees every night as a young man. And I prayed to God. And I asked, and I prayed whatever prayer. And I asked Gerald Joseph and Mary and all the saints to help me. And I didn't understand about intercession. I thought about, they could intercede for me. But I didn't know there's only one intercessor. And he's standing at the right hand of the Father. And his name is Jesus. Amen? And so when someone dies, they no longer can help you. Because they're dead. Dead, dead, dead. Somebody went there, wrote me a letter. And he said, how come you didn't come to my husband's bedside? Now he's dead, dead, dead. Well, what am I, Jesus? I can just give people, make them alive or dead. Anyway, I can see this is not going to go on television. Praise God. My idea of this message this morning is that everyone needs to know who they are so they can become who they need to be, so they can do what they're created to do. Now, don't ask me to repeat that. So, as an introduction, many of God's children struggle with a negative self-image. Even in church, after you're born again, after you're saved, year after year, they still struggle with their image. I talk to people, a lot of people, and talk to my wife and I. They've been, they've lost weight. They've combed their hair, put on makeup, and changed their clothes, different style clothes, wear high heels or low heels, whatever. And they still think they're the way they are. But that doesn't go away. See, the inside has to change. Your mind has to change. And that takes time to develop. It doesn't happen overnight because you put on a Sears jacket. Amen? Or you put on some cologne. It takes time to develop that. It doesn't happen overnight. So many of God's children suffer with negative self-image. They're not valuing who they are, who they really are. After they get saved or have salvation, even after a long, long time afterwards, they have a distorted view and opinion of who they are, of who whatever they've been heard all their life as negative. They have that picture in their lives, in their spirit. Some people go the other way. They think they're better than everybody else. It's the opposite side. They think, I'm too good for everybody. I'm too good for this church. I'm too good for you guys. I'm too talented. Why should I hang around with you guys? Waste my talent here. Waste my good looks. I need to go somewhere else. Where people can look at me and worship me. So sometimes they tear everybody else apart. They tear people down and call people out and point out their flaws and their sins or the past and so on. So it's time to create a better image of yourself. Now you might say, "Well, no, listen to me. I'm okay." No, you're not. You need to change. You need to get more of yourself. You need to get more of this good stuff in you. And so, we can't be like the majority. Just because the majority is doing certain things, we have to do something not because of everybody else is doing it. We have to do it because we see something, we see truth, and we want to follow it. Look at the Romans 12. Chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, I'm going to just pick out a few principles, spiritual laws in there and begin to show you something. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. You know what customs are? Customs are a lifestyle or the way people do things or see things. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How many people need to know this morning in this whole world that God needs to have our thinking changed? God needs to change our thinking. Then he says, then you will learn to know God's will for you. The people, they want to be somebody else. They want to be something that God never designed them to be. So they're stressed out trying to be what everybody else wants them to be. They're trying to become what the world or their environment tells them they should be. So they're under so much strain and stress, and they're trying to live out somebody else's opinion. They're trying to live out somebody else's goal in life. No, we have to be what God wants us to be. The Bible tells us that God had a plan for you. Jeremiah 29 says God has a good plan for you. Ephesians 2:10 says God has created a good life for you. We need to follow that, and we need to figure that out. It's when we change our minds and conform it to what God thinks and how God looks at it, then we begin to know what God's will is. Then we can make decisions that are good for us, not by somebody else's opinion. He says there, then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, because of the privilege of an authority God has given me. I give to each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. How many people know that sometimes Christians think they're better than who they really are? I'm better because I live on this side of town. I'm better because I have a university education. I'm better because I have a better position in the city. You're not. You just had an opportunity that someone else didn't have. And don't feel better than anybody else because you might have a better, you know, figure or better face than someone else. We can fix that today. I'm just kidding. I told you this is not for television. We got some ushers to handle you. Where's Joe? No, sometimes people think that way. But not anybody here. I'm having fun up here. Okay, help me out, guys. Please pray for me. I'm getting mischievous too much here. I'm enjoying it too much. Okay. Okay, so he says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than someone else or that you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. Because, you know, you need to see yourself as God sees you. And that's the best thing. It doesn't matter what the majority of people are saying in this world about how you should, what your image should be like or what it should be. But it's what you see and what you feel about yourself. That's what's important. And what God thinks about you, that's what's really important. Sometimes we conform to the image of what other people say or the social media is prescribing or preaching to us, like what Hollywood puts out. This is not a healthy image. Those girls that are walking on the runway are starving to death. Bernie, we need to give them chicken. You should be at the end of that place there at the runway and handing out buckets at a time. So being skinny is not always the best. Portraying that it's what you should be. Fashion shows and so on. So much of TV commercials sell us an image of how we should live like and what we should be, what we should dress, what we should drive, what we should eat and drink and wear and so on. Drives you crazy. You got to go out and buy some drink or something to make you feel good. You think you're going to feel good, but you don't. Whose image do you see when you see yourself? You know, I remember my mom used to tell, people used to tell my sister, you look so much like your mom. And she was in her teens. She said, no, I'm going to kill myself. And I remember going home to my reserve, my home community, and my great uncle would always tell me, old Jimmy Abraham used to tell me, he says, you know, he calls me Mac. That's my dad's name, man, Mark. My dad's name is Mark, you know. And he called me Mac all the time. It's a French version of Mark. And I didn't know what he was talking about until I began to see myself in the mirror. I see my dad in me. I see my mom when I look in the mirror. But I also see Jesus in me now too. Amen? I'm getting more and more like Jesus. Don't you think? Someone's just thinking about that, you know? Okay. So in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 31 and 30 to 33, it says the majority of people there did not have a good image of who they really were as God's people, except for two people, Caleb and Joshua. So many of them were defeated in life, and actually they died prematurely because they didn't enter into the God's blessings the way they should have had. You know, we could enjoy more of life if we see ourselves in Christ, if we see ourselves as God's children. So God helped these people as far as he could, because they weren't conforming to what God wanted them to do, what God wanted them to see. So let's go to Numbers 13:31. It says there, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Listen to this. Look at this. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshopper or grasshoppers. Now, they were saying, well, we're just these teeny weeny bitty people. How can we take this gigantic job that God has given us? How can we do this? You know, it's like, you know, God gave them his word. It's like God has given us his word. And when we look at a job or when we look at something, we feel that we can't do it. God would never tell you to do something you could not handle. God is not unjust. You wouldn't tell your child to do something you know he'd fail. If you saw your little child, you make him jump off a cliff and say, and you know he wouldn't make it, you wouldn't tell a child to do something he couldn't do. So God is not going to tell you, not going to tell these people, go and take on these giants, take your country, take your land. I'm sorry if some of you die. No, he didn't intend for any of them to die. So he said, these people said, we were in our own sight. Everybody say own sight. Now listen, God wasn't telling them to do something from their perspective. God was telling them to do something from his perspective and how God sees it. And God will tell you to do something not because of what you have or you didn't have, what qualities in life you're missing. God's going to tell you to do something because he said to do it. Now, a lot of times I'll grant you this, because when you're doing something you've never done before, it's scary. Unless you actually know what the will of God is. You know, would you go, my wife and I taught for many years there at the college. We tell our students sometimes, if you could do something in life that you know you could not fail, what would it be? You know, that was a good exercise. And so we thank God that some people discovered they could do things that even their own, you know, natural means couldn't perform, but they were able to go beyond what they thought. Don't limit yourself the way you think. God has a higher thought. And so he said, in our own sight. Now, God's not telling you to live by your own sight, how you think about things and your self-image. He don't ask you to do things because of whether you have an image of yourself from a natural standpoint. He's telling you to do stuff by the way he sees it. Now, they said this. They were projecting their opinion of other people, you know, from their own selves. They're projecting them. They said, look at, we were in their sight as grasshoppers as well. So, you know, we project images of what we think people think about us. And people are living their lives like that, how people thought about them. And so they're failing. They're constantly not winning in life. And they don't feel good about themselves because they're not living up to the standard. I don't know if you can take any more. Can you take some more? Okay, good. See yourself as God sees you. Now, there's another story. Where are you going? Okay. Okay. I know where she's going. She's going to go get the money bag. I'm just kidding. Judges 6, 9 to 16 here. We see Gideon. Gideon was another example of someone who didn't take advantage of what God said, and he was obstructing his own future by looking at his past. There's people that are just looking at their past. They're saying, oh, I can't make it because I come from a reserve. I can't make it because I come from a very poor family. I can't make it because I'm not that talented. I can't make it because I'm not tall enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not smart enough. And so they say, you know, my family was this way, my family was that way. So they defeat themselves before they ever get started. So let's go and see something here. Judges chapter 6, verse 9 to 6, starting from verse 9. Let me just say what it says here. Which verse is that, 9? Are we starting from verse 9? What does verse 6 say? Is that the New Living? For some reason. Okay, let's go, I'm going to read here. Let's go to verse 9 again. Let's see what it says. Okay. Excuse me. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the other gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero," or "mighty man of God, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, 'The Lord brought us up out of Egypt,' but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." But Lord, Gideon replied, "How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family." And the Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." God saw him according to what he called him to be. And often we fail to see what we are from God's standpoint. As a result, we fall short and beneath the blessings God has intended for us in this life. And sometimes we need to have a mind check and a check again to see what God is saying to us. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you fail. It doesn't matter what happened in your life. You need to continue to move on with God and know for a fact God has called you a certain way. Our self-image is often reflected by what we regularly focus on in life. The Bible is God speaking to us. His word gives us a healthy view of who we are. In fact, there are over 130 scriptures in the New Testament that speak to us, that say who we are, what we can do in this life. Because we are a child of God, we're His children. When you read this more often, when you read the scriptures more often, you get a more healthier perspective of who you are and where you came from. It says a lot about how much God loves us. Sociologists tell us our environment affects us in so many ways. The people around us affect what we think and how we feel about ourselves. Your friends reflect who you really are a lot of times, how you feel about yourself, what you see in yourself. That's why it's important who your friends really are, who your true friends really are. Like, all your Facebook friends are not really your friends, they're just people on Facebook. You know, one day they might be praising you, next day they'll kill you. So don't take it personally. I thank God for some of our politicians. They don't always take it personally. So don't cry. I see people crying on writing their Facebook. You know? No, well, they're not your friends, so don't worry about it. Okay? That's why, you know, when people say, "Man, you know, Pastor, you're the best pastor in the whole territory, man. If I was living in this city, I'd be sitting on your ministry." Or, you know, this is the best place ever. You're the best pastor. I love you. And I don't see them for several years. They live next door. They live down the street. They never come around. And so they complain about stuff like that. But, they, you know, it's not true. So you don't take it personally. If you come and tell me something, I'll say thank you, but I'm not going to let it get to my head. I was told about, I heard a story about, you know, what's that great golfer's name, Tiger Woods, when he was a little young boy, his dad was training him, you know, how to live in this world, how to take people. The Bible, he said, this reading said that his dad hired people when he was playing golf as a younger man. He hired people to speak evil against him and so that he wouldn't get disturbed. Or he also told people, I don't know if this is true or not, told people to tell him good things. He'd pay people to tell him good things. I'm not sure. This seems like a good story. But he wasn't moved by that. Whether someone tells them a good thing or a bad thing, he just wasn't moved by it. He knew who he was. So just like us, we can't be moved by what people just tell you all the time. People can tell you nice things today, and tomorrow they tell you bad things. Just don't take it too serious. Take yourself so seriously, and them too, because they might be just as crazy as you are. Over in Proverbs 4, 20 to 23, the New Living Translation says this, "My child, pay attention to what I say." Pay attention to what I say. "Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them." Now, that's a strong assertion. Pay attention. Listen carefully. Don't lose sight. You ever tell your kids something like that? "Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." What's in your mind will be fed into your spirit, because your mind or your soul is a gateway to your spirit. What you allow in your mind, what you think about, what you focus about long enough becomes imprinted in your spirit. You begin to act and say what's in your heart. That's how it works. What you focus on long enough, what you think about long enough, what you hear long enough, you begin to say what people say about you. So it says, guard your heart, or guard your mind and guard your heart. Guard it. Don't allow just anything to stay in your mind. When you have negative comes to your mind, you say, no, talk to yourself out loud. That's how you could meditate anywhere. Meditation is actually just speaking to yourself what God's word says about you. That's meditation. It's saying, no, a lot of times I say, no, that's not what it says. This is what I believe. I talk to myself. Here's what I believe, then I quote the scripture. I believe that I'm going places. I believe that I'm worthwhile. It determines the course of your life. It determines what you're going to be, where you're going to be in life. We need to change our image. If we felt much better about ourselves, we'd interact with each other a whole lot better. There'd be more positive atmosphere around us. It's a pleasure to be around people who have got a good sense of themselves, a good positive image of themselves, because they don't put you down. They're very assertive, and they're not pushy. They're not pushing themselves over on you. You just like being around them, because if something oozes out of them that you get around them, you like them, because there's something about them. You enjoy them. But sometimes you get around people who get negative. They're just negative about everything. You just want to not be around them. You just like feeling like you want to go get sick. Excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom here. Straighten myself, throw some water on my face. What we perceive in our hearts will eventually become. Seeing the right thing helps us, in our lives. So, here's what the Apostle Paul said over here in Colossians chapter 3, 16. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge in the right way. That's what wisdom is. It's taking knowledge and using it appropriately. See, if you can take knowledge and kill somebody. You can hurt people with knowledge too. You can tell people the truth when they're not ready for it. But sometimes people need to be told, you know, right away if they're going to kill themselves. Teaching, admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, this is talking about the Word of God. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. If there's a song in our hearts, it's easy to be around people with a song in their heart of the Lord. We should positively affect one another, and we do when our image is good on the inside. We're at ease with ourselves. We're okay with not, you know, you don't have to cut your toenails every morning, polish your toenails, polish your hoofs. You know, every morning you can just go outside and greet somebody. Some people you can't. Some women they can't go outside without any makeup. They think, you know, my Lord. Or some people say, yeah, you go home and put some makeup on. No, because sometimes, you know, it's amazing what people feel. That sometimes they feel like they have to put on something. we need to get full of the Word. It matters who your friends are. Proverbs 13:20 says, if you associate with fools, you'll get into trouble. That's in anything. Hang around people who don't have anything. You know, there's a man in the Bible, and over in 2 Kings, there's a man called Elisha. He made this, decision to hang around with Elijah, and you know, he became just like him. So we become who we hang around with. Somebody said, you know, hang around with seagulls. You become like a seagull. Like crows. Or you hang around with, you know, eagles. You'll fly high. So I'm just going to just give you that right now because we're at the end here. There's so much to talk about how to transform ourselves. We need to change the image inside of us. I want us to stand up right now and make some, we're going to declare some faith declarations and we can close. According to John 3:16, we want to show you a scripture. You are who the Bible says you are. You can do what the Bible says you can do. You know? Some of you have no money in your pocket, no money in your bank account. Bible says you're rich. That's your opinion of yourself. You have to say, I'm rich. Some of you have sickness in your body. You're in medication. You say, thank God I'm healthy in the name of Jesus. Begin to change that in your heart. Things will change. Everybody say, according to John 3:16, I am loved. Say, according to Ephesians 6:10, I am strong. Say, according to Colossians 1:13, I am free. I am delivered. Say, according to 1 Peter 2:24, I'm healthy. Say, according to John 9:34, I am whole. Say, my body is whole. My mind is whole. My spirit is whole. Say, according to Colossians 1:22, I am worthy. I'm not junk. I'm not garbage. I am worthy. Say, according to John 20:17, God is my Father. I am His very own child. I am in God's family. According to Philippians 4:19, God supplies all my needs. There is not one need not covered under the covenant of God. I have all my needs met. According to Psalm 23:1, He gives me all I need. Romans 8:17 declares, I'm an heir of God. 1 Corinthians 6:20, I belong to God. My body belongs to God. My mind belongs to God. I don't think negative things. I don't think junk. I think healthy thoughts. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I do good things with it. I serve God with my body. I serve God with my mind. I can feel any way I want to feel. I choose to feel good. I choose to feel positive. I choose to think positive. Because I am a child of God. I am His child, according to 1 John 3:1. I have a reason to live. Ephesians 2:20 says God has planned great things for me. He's planned a good life for me. I have a purpose in this life. I have a purpose of being here. Jeremiah 29:11 says, there's divine purpose. There's a reason for my existence. I have a purpose. I have a reason to live. Daniel 11:29. I will do great things from now on. Greater than anybody can think about. Greater than beyond everybody's imagination. God has in store great things for me. My God is great. Therefore, I am great. Philippians 4:13. I can do anything. I can meet any challenge, any obstacle that comes in my way. I will overcome. I am an overcomer. I'm a high achiever. Revelation 12:11. I overcome all the enemy's plans by the blood of the Lamb. And what I say, I say, I am God's child. And therefore, I'm an overcomer. Go ahead and praise Him one more time. Praise Him and thank God. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You, Lord. You know, when you sing songs Sunday morning, those songs should always reflect what the Bible says. Not what some man wrote, but what the Bible says. So when you're singing the song Sunday morning, whether it's a worship song or a praise song, what's happening when you start getting involved with that song, something spiritual happens to your body and something happens in your mind. Something happens in your spirit. When you start singing that song, it changes you on the inside. It washes your mind. It's called renewing of the mind. And that's why you start feeling good. And when you start praising God for what He has done for you, things begin to happen on your behalf. And angels start going to work on your behalf because you're singing praises to God. And when you're singing, what you just did here is like doing a worship service. But we just did it by saying it. Always remember that. Sing praises when you're having a shower in the morning, when you're eating in the morning, when you're doing something, when you're walking down the street, going through the driveway over there, or going to Walmart, and you just sing songs to yourself, to the Lord. You say, Lord, this is good, man. Is there somebody here I need to talk to today? I want to just be positive to someone today. I want you to find 4 or 5 people this week and find someone down in the dumps and bring them a coffee or just say, you know, hey, I appreciate you. You're worthwhile. Isn't God good? How many of you feel better now because of that? You just sense, you know, there's something inside that happened to you. You know, I just sense that right here. There's something changing inside of me. Praise God. Amen? Well, go in the grace of God and the peace of God. Father, if those people out there that need Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, those that are watching online, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. You say, Jesus, come in my life. I'm your child. I love You. I'm going to follow You. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.